Monday, September 25th, 2017. It's a regular board meeting, 7 o'clock. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item A, 2016-17, State Report Card.
So I chaired with you the preliminary results, and so very close, so this will be short and sweet. Go ahead and put it in. What you have in front of you is the entire district report card, so the depth of all the different levels that and the indicators and different components that go into each section. But this is the top cover of our district report card. We received an A for achievement. So that's achievement scores across the board. That's excellent, and we're really pleased with that. Gap closing, a B, and it's a little higher than last year, so we were excited to hear about that. A C in K-3 literacy, and I'm going to talk more about that. Progress, a B, which is excellent, and graduation rate, an A, and then prepared for success. So some of the highlights of the report card. So district state ranking from number 35 to number 11. We're really proud of this. We did a lot of great work in the last few years around understanding the different rigor levels of our standards and getting our high school on board, because this is the first year that they also were part of that ranking, the scores were, and that's where many schools fell behind this year of us. So I'm pleased with that, something we have to continue to work on because everybody else will continue to work on those achievement scores too. 97% of our high school seniors graduate within 4 years, and remember with our special education, there's a need sometime for 5 or more years. So that's within that 4-year window. Overall A on student progress, this is excellent. To be able to say that grades 4 through high school make a year's worth of growth is huge. Achievement can be because of sometimes who I was born to, or you know how hard I work. Making progress may mean our student might not be achieving or at grade level, but we've helped differentiate enough to make a year's worth of growth to that student. So really proud of that score. And gap closing. Our two gaps are economically disadvantaged and special education. And then some challenges we're going to continue to work on. Third grade reading guarantee. As you remember in past years, a C is a year's worth of growth. So we're pleased with that, but we were so close to a B. And it's because we are working on our curriculum K-3, pulling our grade level teams out. You know, with 3 different buildings, it's hard to get everyone on the same page. But the grade level teachers are doing an excellent job of talking and listening to one another and trying to build units together. So we are excited about that. We are going to continue to work on that. We're also going to tie it into the K-5 science education, as we've started with a new goal of a reading and a science integrated units. K-5 each year, or starting this year, we're going to write 2 of them per grade level. So that's something exciting. And then something we have to continue to look at is the students in the lowest 20%. A D, not really pleased with that. When the growth scores come out per student, we'll be able to dig deeper into that and find out who are those students and unpack them a little bit and say, what are we doing or what aren't we doing that could help move them along? And because you have all that other information, do you have any questions?
When you look at the slow developing the D that we got, is that by individual or by like study area, like math or
so they do both. They pull it out for math and reading. That is, they take all the scores in the state, and those 20%, so we have to figure out, I don't have the number of how many students that is yet here. So then they take all the scores throughout the state, the scale scores, and students are put into categories 1 through 5, 1 being the lowest 20% in the state. So what we need to do is go back and look. We could have 8 students in there. We could have 20 students in there. I just don't know how many we have in there right now.
I know they've been talking about just going to a letter grade instead of all of these grades, but I don't know for sure if that's been passed or if that's going to be next year. Do you know?
Well, what they're going to do actually is just add another grade to this.
Oh, you're
so
kidding.
In this
okay.
little box, it says district grade coming.
Okay.
It's coming in 2018. So what they'll do is, my understanding is they'll take all these component grades and average them together. The Cleveland.com did that just a week ago with the information that came out. I think that put us, when they did that, it put us at 17th or something, third in Cuyahoga. So they're just going to make one grade so that's your overall report card grade, and then here are all the different grades you get with it.
I ask that because somebody had asked me, you know, they were like, oh my gosh, you got a C in this. And I said, but we were 11th in the state.
you
yeah, know,
and,
people
you know, it,
focused
so
in on those.
It's so hard to communicate that because that seems
right.
a year's worth of growth.
Right.
We expect, I mean, to get all of our students or more than half of our students to a year's worth of growth, that's gifted right down to your lowest
right.
achieving. That's a great score, but it's hard to talk about that when people are just looking at it as a C.
Right, and I think a lot of people do.
Absolutely, because we think
it's
kind
of
a C's average.
It's just going to be one grade.
I agree. Any other questions?
So, again, on the students in the lowest 20%, it's mm-hmm. a measure of the progress of the students identified. So, does that mean that we had those students the prior year in our system, and then it's the next year, or if they came to us from somewhere else?
If they're in the state of Ohio, their scores travel
okay.
with them. So that it's also talking growth, so not achievement. So they may not be getting proficient on the test, but as long as we grow them and they stay within their quintiles that they're put into, then that means they have a year's worth of growth, because the group they've always been with has moved. And they stay within that group. It's when you fall out of your different quintile, then that causes you to have above growth or below. So all kids that are in the state of Ohio, all their data carries throughout them, no matter what school they go to.
But that growth is measured based on like a baseline assessment in the beginning of the year, and then
it's measured based on their last year's test. And they can do projections to that.
Okay.
This is the first year that we've had a comparable. So we had the AIR test last year, and so we had it this year. We didn't have it the year before that. We had PARC. Is that correct?
Correct. So they still kept those scores.
Sure they did.
Yeah. But you're right. They were different. So
we're
the last 2 years
apples
were
to apples. This is the first time we've had that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So did you say that you'll get the data later then as far as
right.
the,
so
to be able
how
to drill down?
Yeah, how the reports come out. So in August, we receive some of that information. The official report card comes out in September. And by October 15th, teacher value added and student value added reports come out. So we should have it in the next couple weeks. We've already started to look at this at our principal's meeting and coming up in October. Digging deeper to say who are these students that on the AIR test from last year, they provided a pretty robust system that you can see what standards the students are missing. Is an entire class missing certain standards? Does that mean maybe we just didn't get to it, or how did we teach it? So we have to really disaggregate all that data and look at that.
Any other questions?
I'm sorry, did you have some? Okay, no, I was just going to say, you know, I know an awful lot goes into this, more than I wish we had to do, but I just want to say congratulations to everybody that's part of it.
Absolutely.
We know that our parents obviously send us some pretty terrific students in that, and your team and the teachers obviously work very, very hard to do that, but to, you know, to make that growth. And I know the scores all changed again this year,
yeah.
So
yeah.
So
yeah,
it's really, really impressive. So
it's our job.
I mean, it's great to be able to celebrate what obviously is a commendable result.
Yes.
And I think now that we finally, we hope we have something that'll keep the measuring rod the same
yes.
from year to year, like in any process, now the trick is improvement.
I know.
Even if incremental. You know,
just
and I think
there.
The way this is broken out into quintiles, kind of forces us to focus on all our kids, which is important.
It does. This new report card, obviously because it's been growing over the years as they continue to add things, report cards were all based on achievement before. So your high achieving schools always look really terrific, which is great, but it never showed growth of students. And so it's important that all our kids grow, our highest achieving to our lowest. So I think it gives a better picture.
How do they, sorry, one other question.
Okay.
How did they come up with the ranking, you know, number 11? So they don't give an overall grade, so.
If you look at it, it's the performance index.
Okay.
And so our performance index, let's see, it was a total of a 105, so I think it's on this, or 106. On that back sheet of the first paper, it's a 106.6. So if you look at that, that's what gave us the 11th ranking this year. The really neat thing about performance index, which we'd like to see, and I know we can do it, is that Advanced Plus. So if you see that Advanced Plus standing, we had 7.2% of our students receive that. That is because they're on a written acceleration plan. So it's our math programs. So the students are taking the grade above curriculum and tests. So if I was in fifth grade, I'm taking the sixth grade test. And you get points that if students within that are taking the above grade curriculum, if they receive proficient, you actually get points for acceleration. And if they receive acceleration, you get points for advance. And some of our students, 7.2% of our students, scored advance on the above grade level curriculum, so you get advance plus. So that's something we're looking at too, continue to advance our kids that way.
So if the performance index is the measure to rank all of the districts, mm-hmm. we got a B in performance index,
yeah.
yet we're number 11 in the state.
Right.
This is more rigorous, the curriculum is more rigorous, and I think our, you know, just me, a lot of high schools decided not to really start looking at the standards differently and teaching their classes, and when that occurred, they didn't advance like they always did. Now, my fear is because I feel like we're 11th, and then I'm like, oh, shoot, what if we go back to 20 or 30 again? But they're going to be working just as hard to get their scores up, too. And so we do need to continue to move our ball forward because we're not there yet. And it's the lowest index we've had in a long time. But it's because it is different tests, and it's a lot more rigorous.
Well, Megan, now that I'm looking, the gifted input, that's our AP. That's what we offer. Is that correct? On the third page.
The gifted inputs have many. So the indicator of how we didn't meet the gifted,
just the one where it's like not value added, not performance index, but gifted inputs. I thought in the past we had met that indicator and I actually gotten a gifted indicator.
Right, we were a point
off.
Off.
So they raised the bar or, I mean,
no,
obviously. I mean, because we haven't cut services.
We haven't. And that might be one that's raising the bar each time. I would have to go back and look at that one.
Okay.
I'm not positive. There are, you're absolutely right, because even on the achievement ones, too, they've gone from 70 to 75 to 80. I mean, so they're going to continue
to
move that. I would have to double check on that one.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Community communications. Does anyone wish to be heard? Oh, we had such a good time last time. All right, we're moving on. Item 4, that was sarcastic. 4, president's announcements. I don't have any announcements. Item 5, board member committee reports. We have financial liaison audit committee.
Nothing to report at this point, but the month of October we'll be working on GAAP conversion with Julian and Groove.
Okay. Permanent Improvement Committee.
I don't know how. Debbie, would you like to start this one? Because you were there the other night, I guess, if we want to talk about what's going on with the facilities planning.
Yeah. Well, it was my first time, but I mean, I was there and all the subcommittees reported out. Seems like we're kind of on the right track, I think. I mean, I know there was a group that went to visit North Ridgeville, but you went to that.
Right,
I didn't.
Yeah.
So
some other ones scheduled. Yeah, our Facility Planning Commission is moving forward. We have we're kind of staggering things in our committee so that we can appropriately address how much money we need to what we really think we need from a facility rather than trying to totally drive it by what we think money we can get. But basically, we're trying to really look at what we believe that this community needs in terms of new facilities and then figure out if there's a way that we can bond to be able to do those things. And part of what we're challenged with is, do we have a plan for the next 20 to 25 years, or do we have a plan for the next maybe 40 to 50 years? And obviously that would be a difference in how much we would be looking to invest. So the committees now are going through each of those different topics, trying to really understand both from a financial point of view as well as an educational adequacy point of view, which is one of our committees. I had the title right on that. Yeah, it's a miracle, believe me.
I'm on the committee and I have a hard time with it.
so that we know, not only do we have enough square footage, because that's a pretty simple calculation, but is it the right square footage? You know, is it going to really serve us, going forward as a premier school district, for the next, what's the horizon, 20 years, 50 years? So those are the kinds of questions that we're going through now and trying to understand, working both with the engineering consultancy that we're working with and our bonding partners and everything. So we're coming to a convergence fairly soon where we would definitely look for public input. If anybody wants to join any committees, I'm sure Chris would love to sign you up. We have four committees that are all looking for additional members and additional input if anyone has any interest. So I think it'll be a very major issue for the school district over the next 6 months, probably a little bit more than that. So I would urge everyone who's here to pay a lot of attention and please let us know what you think, because it's important.
And we're still driving on the same timeline, right, which is for the whole committee to have some type of board recommendation by the end of the year?
End of the calendar year, yeah. I mean, we would like to be on the ballot early next year if it makes sense. And I think it's important for us. We know we have a window that's basically next calendar year to be on the ballot. The issue is, can we gain enough community support, consensus, for what we want to do so that we can, reasonably get this to happen. So stay tuned.
And I was just going to say, I think I understood, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the committee's going to come up with the recommendations, and then those months after, you'll be getting a lot of community input to see if that's okay.
Yeah, we're looking for different formats. Everybody has ideas. We talk about coffees, town hall meetings, however we can get input from the community, because no matter what it is that we do, it's going to be a change. Mm-hmm. And we know that change is difficult. Rexville is a very tradition-heavy, as is Broadview Heights community. Any changes we're going to make are going to probably get people actively involved. We'd rather they got involved early on in the process so that we can get through the difficult issues as quickly as we can and really do what we need to do for the district. So that's kind of where we are. Again, I would say the next 2 months will bring an awful lot of flesh to that skeleton that we just talked about.
I was reading an article on North Bridgeville actually doing the offlining of a building, and I'm curious how they actually went about it. So I didn't know if you had that input of how they engaged their community.
That part I don't know, but I do know that a number of, like 20 from our committee and other committees, I think, went to visit the new building, one of the new buildings that they put up there, to kind of understand the new floor plan usage and, really how, and again, I'm not the educator, so I'm the last person to really talk about this intelligently, but at least so that we can see, what value do you get if you're going to build a new building, and what concepts would a new building be built around? And we did that, but I can't address. I don't know anything more about it.
So, they have a unique situation out there that they went through the process where they had buildings that were literally falling apart and really had some severe needs. So they went and applied for the money that you can get up front, which we just applied for Central School. To have that conversation, and because their schools were kind of on a campus already, for them it wasn't an idea of location. They knew that they had this plot of land that they had purchased next to their board office to have, if they need be, to have that facility. So
even the facilities that were falling down, they're still there. They're still on the campus. So they engaged the community about talking more about the educational visioning around what they wanted to see in a new building. And really their biggest dilemma that they had in that conversation was they built a facility that houses grades 3 through 8, which is kind of an unusual span of grades to have in one building. It, you know, usually you're going to go elementary, you're going to go middle school. So they kind of had this hybrid model. And they did that based on the facilities that they were still able to use. So they created a K-1-2 facility, which was a smaller building in better shape than the other buildings, mm-hmm. and were able to use that as a K-2. So everything is still on a campus model for them.
Okay. All right. Thank you for working so hard. I know that committee's met a lot. You know, it's great.
If you want to join us Wednesday at 5:30.
Yeah, they tell me at my school I should join more things too. Okay. Item D, board policy. No, sorry. Item C, transportation appeals committee.
None yet, but we've sent out some. We've sent out some packets, so we'll see.
I don't know, Mr. Phil. You guys have done a wonderful job. I've seen, you know, a lot of things taken care of, and I think it's wonderful. And Rick Stone is the best. So
yeah, he's done a fantastic job. And
he has.
Yeah, it's been a little trying this year.
Well, you have too. So item D, board policy committee.
We meet Thursday.
Okay. And I had talked to Joelle about one that I've seen, and she is crowdfunding. Okay. It's a crowdfunding policy that I saw that the district I work in adopted. And it's just kind of proactive, and so maybe I asked her to bring that to you guys to see. It's just about having crowdfunding, you know, like when they do donations.org, mm-hmm. having it actually go through the superintendent first for approval before you start doing crowdfunding. So just seeing if that's a policy that we're interested in. Item E, Cauga Valley Career Center report. So we had open house for our high school students, much like we did in Brecksville. They also have the hurricane relief efforts, and one of our students, which I may not say right, we had Hannah Pilot, Joseph Fritzky, Nathaniel Robusto, and Brianna Thornburg. They contributed with hurricane relief. They're in teaching professions over at CCC, so they helped spearhead that collection over there. There's an ACT boot camp, which is tomorrow, September 26th. We have free college and career planning seminar for juniors and seniors, which is Wednesday, September 27th. And a really great one that they have is the College Night, which is October 4th at 7:30 at CBCC. So a lot of the colleges will be in attendance there as well. If students are interested, we have an ACT strategy workshop, SAT strategy workshop, now that it's been reworked and it's coming in line with the ACT as well, as colleges want to see that. That's October 14th, 10 to 12. And that's it. We're just in discussions about some of our facility planning. We put some things on hold till we did a look. We were going to build an auxiliary building, and that's now been put on hold with a little more forethought. That's what our discussion is right now. And item F, other board member reports. Seeing none, item 6, superintendent's announcements.
Yes, I have a couple. We had a very unplanned fire drill today at the high school that just so happened to take place right during dismissal time. And so we had vacated the building or evacuated the building, and we had to wait for the fire department to give us clearance to dismiss the kids, which pushed back transportation a bit today. So our buses actually left the high school about 12 minutes behind schedule just due to the timing of it. And again, kudos to our transportation department. By the time we got to our last run at elementary school, I believe we were only about 7 minutes behind on run. So they really did a nice job trying to catch back up. But we thought it was going to be longer. I sent out an alert now message just to let people know that 20 minutes was max. So I thought that was great because they got there early. So it looked it was good. We asked for 20. We only needed 10. So that worked out well in the messaging. But
So looking into that more, I guess the line had tripped on Friday, not enough to set off the alarm, so there was been a problem in the line, and today it just tripped enough that it sent off the alarm, so no one pulled it. It wasn't a student prank or anything like that. So Chris has been on that, and we'll be taking care of that and looking at, you know, the system in general to make sure that doesn't happen again. Certainly you've heard in our area we had a major school district close school today because of heat. They have 15 buildings that do not have air conditioning. I was just told this afternoon that they've closed again tomorrow as well. We are not planning on closing school due to heat. We know that it's warm. Today we were proactive and we sent water and popsicles down to the kids. One of the biggest concerns with the heat is more that the fact that people are staying hydrated when they're that hot, and that you're not losing water. So we want to make sure that we're doing whatever we can. We know it's uncomfortable, but making sure that our kids and our staff are staying hydrated. So we have that same plan in place for tomorrow. Tomorrow it's supposed to be 90 degrees. I think today it was up to 92. And then 80s on Wednesday, and then Thursday it's supposed to go down to 65. So some of the school superintendents have all talked about this. North Royalton is in the same boat. They don't have air in some of their buildings. Independence doesn't have air in some of their buildings. And we've all talked and determined that we're going to, you know, keep our buildings open, but put things in place so that people can be a bit more comfortable. We do have areas in those buildings that are air conditioned, so our principals will be rotating kids through those areas as needed. And also we are going to let our staffs go in that building at student dismissal time, so the teachers don't have to stay the extra half hour and be in that heat, so they'll get to leave early as well with the kids. So we're doing some things to make it more comfortable and suitable for our staff and students. Just a quick reminder that on October 6th, at our football game, we first have Gallery of Achievement. We'll be honoring some of our former grads at the football game. There's a breakfast earlier that morning taking place at the high school at 8:30 to honor those members who have been nominated. We are also honoring our first responders at that football game. So this is just a reminder, if you can attend, the first responders from both Brecksville and Broadview Heights will be walking out with the football team through the B tunnel out on the field for a short ceremony to honor and thank them for all that they do for our schools and for our community. So we're hope to see you there at that football game. And that's it.
Thank you. Item 7, superintendent's consent agenda. We have item A, certified recommendations, tab 1. Item B, classified recommendations, tab 2. And item C, supplemental recommendations, tab 3. May I have a motion?
So moved. Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item 8, other superintendent's business. We have A, auxiliary service agreement, B, Steps Academy contract, and C, donations to schools. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
Pretty straightforward.
All right. Hearing none, please call the roll.
Great. Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item 9, treasurer consent agenda. We have A, approval of resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission, which is in tab 7. Item B, financial report, August 2017, which is in tab 8. Item C, minutes of the August 28, 2017 and 2017 meetings, tab 9. And item D, additional 2017-2018 pay to participate club fees in tab 10. May I have a motion?
So moved. Second.
Discussion.
Great. No, that's okay. Good evening. Just wanted to take a few minutes this is the August 2017 fiscal year-to-date report. On the first page, we have monthly, and then the second page is fiscal year to date. Fiscal year to date includes the 2 months, July and August. If I were to look at trends in our financials, it's a timing issue with regards to our receipt of general property tax, real estate from the county. We received the bulk of it here in August. If you notice, the year-over-year estimate for August of 17 versus August of 16 was pretty much right on the money, but it really becomes all a timing issue, so that's why you see a significant positive variance of $3.7 million. unrestricted grants and aids, which is the state of Ohio, remains to be on a positive variance based on a Mr. Burdine, previous treasurer, forecasting a lower amount of state aid. So kudos to his effort there. And so we're staying above board by $54,000 at this point. We're anticipating about a $240,000 per year positive variance based on a forecast on the last following the last biennial budget. Item 1.06 for the monthly report. What I like to do is point out as many of the kind of large ticket items that that will move the needle when it comes to the variance or cause a either positive or negative variance. So on a monthly basis, it's important to note, and we'll get to the fiscal year to date, which includes 2 months, but pay to participate, all-day kindergarten tuition, special education tuition receipts, and interest earned in that item tends to move that needle. In this case, on a monthly basis, it was positive, and so we had a positive variance for the month of August. If we look at any of the expenditures that were off the chart, or at least unbeknownst, really most of this is timing, but it's important to note line item 4.3, you know, kind of other objects and expenditures. We did have I look for non-reoccurring expenditures, things that really won't appear month after month, and one of those happened to be a $230,000 county tax collection fee, which really offset that amount for the month of August. So as we know, nothing's for free, and we must pay to collect as well. So out of all those, that was really the thing that jumped off the page at me that needed to be researched. If I were to look at fiscal year to date, second page of the financials.
Sorry, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Quick question. So
yeah.
That $231,000 for the county tax collection. So what did we forecast that as to begin with, right? So we're saying that came in a lot higher.
Yeah, I don't have the specific forecast for that particular fee. I just know that typically what I try and point out is any of the large ticket items that. So I don't have a specific what we forecasted for that tax collection. I can follow up with a more definitive. So I don't have a specific answer as to what we forecasted that particular fee. I got to imagine it wasn't too far off that $230,000, but duly noted. I'm happy to
yeah, I was just wondering if it's, you know, if it's in line with what we thought, and if it's not in line, you know, it's from the county.
I'll give Brian Dunn a call. Yeah,
is
absolutely.
Is it correct, or is it, you know,
right?
Just so we understand if it's not what we expected, why did it change?
Absolutely. No, it's a great question, and happy to get that answer for you. Actually, a great segue, because when it comes to general property tax estimates forecasts, there was an opportunity for me to actually call the county to ask about the variance in the collection of property taxes year over year. Specifically, we forecasted about a collection of about $4.4 million fiscal year to date. We actually collected about $4.1 million. The big difference is right now, actually in the month of August, this summer, we'll call it anytime after basically July, August, we collected second half of 16 calendar year. Those collections came in about 2% less than expected. So that's why you see a negative variance of $256,000 in that particular bullet point. But Mr. Dunn has assured me that that 2% differential. So we collected about a 96% collection rate when we typically have had about a 98% tax collection rate. So he attributed that to about a $250,000 to $300,000 variance year over year, but he assures me that those are because of, you know, those are people that are still, we're anticipating them to pay, but they're just delinquent at this point. But he's going to send out a third billing, and we should see that collection actually in the January collection. So that was something that I wanted to make sure that we addressed specifically, because that's a big number. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any additional questions on that, but. And then the other operating revenues, we actually had several either more seasonal. So the reason why we had a significant positive variance in the line 1.06 other operating revenues is because we had mostly seasonal items like pay to participate and all-day kindergarten tuition payments. add into that another 180, 190,000 in special ed tuition and in interest. So that's really what made that number what it was, and that's how I dissected it. So we probably won't see the pay to participate in all day kindergarten, you know, that significant because it's the beginning of the school year, and we know those are more seasonal significant. We're going to see them trickle in, but the big, you know, fall, beginning of school year type of items, that's why you saw the larger dollar amounts. Let's see, if I were to look at expenditures, you know, two really good items that we came in under forecast, retirement insurance benefits, our fringe, fixed fringe costs. Again, it's a matter of forecast. We're coming in at a positive 46,000 versus forecast. So again, that's just some, I think as Rick would call it, either really good work or a really good guess. But no, he was always kidding about that. He was very, very good at what he does. And then the other big item there, timing and spending on supplies and materials. So we're doing an effective job of collecting or at least spending. We're being frugal when it comes to supplies and materials. And then purchase services came in under forecast estimates. I think that two of the big items there, printing services and property insurance, were basically at, you know, over 90% of their annual budget typically. So those are the two items that really moved that item specifically. So looking forward to, by the way, the really good thing here is we had a positive variance overall fiscal year to date. Looking forward to next month and really beginning the first of two annual, or I should say the biannual five-year forecast, which will be discussed and disseminated at our next board meeting. Great. Any questions?
The workman's comp, that's a one-time because we got overbilled.
It is.
So if we look at that and then we look at our year-to-date balance, we're actually behind 50 grand roughly, right?
Yep, you could look at it that way, absolutely. But we also, I think, you know, I don't know if Mr. Code would agree, but you know, that might not be the last time we see some workman's comp.
That's what I'm wondering. Is that the general overbilling that they did, or is it specific to us?
That's our retro program that we're using to, you know, this could be 2013 or 14. I know we've talked about that a little bit, about was it overbilled or was it being frugal, or is it effective management? We'll just call that a refund of fees by the state of Ohio Workman's Comp Bureau. So hopefully we'll see some more. We always like to see surprises in that respect when it comes to the forecast.
We will have so our initial payment was on 15. That was the first review. We have another review this year that I would project we would see a payment on, and this is for 15 still. Mm-hmm. Then 15 will have a third review next year, which we hope to see a payment on each year as a review by BWC, and we're doing well enough that we hope to see payments towards the school district at each review. So over a three-year period, we might see multiple payments.
Great.
From BWC.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Great.
Any other questions? Please call the roll.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item 10, adjournment. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. 5-0. We are now adjourned. Thank you.
39 minutes. 39.
You are all witnessing a record.
That'll never. That'll never happen again.
You picked the right night.
Yes, it will. Just sign yes, anywhere. So
okay. Holy cow! Did you pick the right night?
Thanks for joining us. Good choice.
You're very welcome.
Good. How are you?
How are you?
I'm